Did you know that stigma surrounding mental health can have harmful effects on individuals? Check your bias and challenge stereotypes to create a more understanding and inclusive Barbados. A message from the Barbados Psychiatric Hospital, the Ministry of Health and Wellness Barbados, and the Barbados Government Information Service.
And joining me this morning again, we have Ryan Lewis and Corel Hollingsworth. And today the focus is youth and mental health. So pull that forward for me, sir. Mm-hmm. Good. Good morning to you, Ryan.
Good morning, Carol. How are you doing? Oh, good morning, Corel.
Well. Good morning, Ryan. Good morning, Carol.
Right. So let's get started about youth and mental health and the prevalence of mental health challenges among youth. So I'm sure, Ryan, you will take that one.
Definitely. Let me first just dispel the myth that persons believe that youth do not have challenges just because that they're young and that they're now navigating this world, and what do they have to worry about? Mm-hmm. And the opposite is true. They actually do have a lot to worry about. From academic pressures to identity formation, to wanting to excel in life, the family dynamics, and all the other social pressures that exist within our society. Mental health, again, is so broad, and we think that mental health is a particular set of things, but it's actually everyday life experiences that we go through as we grow and we develop. So academic pressure, as you grow older, you want to excel, and it's always conflicted with the pressure of failure and the fear of failure. So you go to school, or even from sitting the 11 plus exams, going to the different types of schools that we have assigned, whether or not it's a top school versus a lower school. These things kind of signal to the child who they are, if they are somebody important, if they are somebody of value, if they're not as good as the other person. So we start having these comparative analysis of self and others, and how do we fit in as well. The other thing that goes along with that is that as you get and grow and develop, is that you are in a vulnerable state where you're moving from who you once were to this projected person of who you want to become. So we call this identity confusion. And what this does is the child is so vulnerable is that they start to lend themselves into groups that accepts them, because once they recognize their differentness and their uniqueness, sometimes it's hard for them to align themselves with certain groups. And what this does is that if certain groups do not accept them, they go to the next best place that does. And this sometimes is purported by unsupportive environments at home as well. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, the trilogy, well, it far goes beyond a trilogy, because the cycle of trauma that extends within this whole cycle is so far reaching that we take for granted sometimes how these things actually are linked. So let's take an example for yourself. You may have had a child. Child is young, you're busy going to work. Sometimes at the end of a day is where you are tired as a parent, and you hope that the child do what they're supposed to do, or the child does what you told them that you want them to do. Mm-hmm. The child doesn't do it. The first reaction is that you're going to be angry. And you're going to then shout at this child and treat this child a particular way, which the child internalizes that interaction. And then the child internalize it to the point that they don't think that they're worthy, that they don't think that they're adequate enough. Everything I do, mommy or daddy don't ever think is good enough. And, you know, and it starts to make them feel inadequate. It makes them feel less than a person. So then that child starts to, that's actually a form of abuse, emotional abuse and stuff like that. And the child actually then starts to translate his behavior into the classroom and takes this trauma that is unhealed, that is unacknowledged, into the classroom and other social circles. So when we speak about what can we do to address bullying, what can we do to address delinquency or deviancy, it's something start, you got to find the genesis of it, and it's something that starts with us as the adults that should know better, because we lack to create a supportive environment for them.
And sometimes you're thinking, you can see how children would be thinking, you know, the only kind of attention I seem to get or is negative attention. The only emotion I see really expressed is anger or disappointment coming from these people that I really want to please.
And a lot of the time, these are persons that they idolize. They are these children's heroes. Mm-hmm. And they
is
want...
Is that saying, though, that a parent, because parents are people.
Yeah, parents are people.
That they can't... They can't get angry.
I'm not saying that they can't.
Managing, right? So that's why I'm trying to say, how do we manage that to make sure that we as adults and our children are getting the best?
We got to first acknowledge that we may be having some challenges ourselves. Sometimes mm-hmm. we try to pitch to the kids that, you know, I got it covered, and we sometimes we don't have
far
it covered,
from.
And that we need to reach out for support. So if we start normalizing seeking support and say, okay, let's go and sit down and just have a family talk, sit down and let us know about, like, I had a really bad day today. This happened at work or this happened at school, and I really got some deadlines to meet and stuff like that. Like, we really have a table conversation. But you see, I'm not able to be in everybody's homes, but you do see the consequences of what is not happening. And communication, a lot of breakdown communications and dynamics of communications are not occurring between families and their children. A lot of the times, families would say, or parents would say, oh, I didn't know my child was doing this or my child was doing that. And you wonder, how can you not? How can you miss these things? But I do get it. Again, the family structures that exist in Barbados now have changed. We had more extended families, and we had more quote unquote mature persons raising children. But you realize that parents are getting younger and getting younger, and grandparents are still going to school, still going to work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're still going to school too, and pursuing tertiary education. So I had the benefits of being raised by a grandmother that was retired and at home, and she was able to, you know, import those values, those norms and mores with myself. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have children that are being raised by devices, YouTube and social media and their friend circles, and they're actually kind of raising themselves. But you think the parent get home exhausted, you know, they don't know a lot of what's going on in the child's life.
We see so much of that. People are out to eat and the child has a tablet in front of them and things like that. Anyhow, let's go to Karel now. Let's talk a little bit about what you see as some of the challenges or that young people would probably face in trying to reach out for help or seek help. What do you see as some of the major challenges there?
I think it will be, I think it will primarily be embarrassment. Mm. So they will be embarrassed to call someone and say, well, I get 50-something in my test today. I don't know how to tell my mommy. I don't know how to tell my daddy. Or even if they feel embarrassed by saying they feel sad or they feel affected by the same parent, because remember, we would have said during the campaign that sometimes it's internal for the family as well. So you as a mom or you as a dad, the actions and inactions that are occurring are affecting your child a lot more than you think. And by not addressing it and then the child feeling like they can't come to you about it is also some place that feeling scared or embarrassed to share it is where the problem would stem from. Because at 13 years old, you can't go and tell your 13-year-old best friend, my mommy got home late last night and I had to make hot dogs, right? Oh. And then when your mother comes home, the fact that you had to make hot dogs and you might still be hungry, but you see that she might be agitated. You don't want to tell her.
You don't want to say I'm hungry.
Yes, exactly. So it stems from a lot of different areas that parents need to check into and be aware of, rather than a child feeling scared of you when they are really supposed to be feel loved.
Mm. There might be some parents that would say, well, Their child is actually going through a lot of these emotions. I'm scared to approach. She looks angry. He looks angry. And they're thinking, my child is not afraid of me, and that can't be true. And they don't even recognize the kind of atmosphere that they're creating, right?
It's funny that you say
Ryan
that.
Ryan is so distressed.
I am, yes, so because...
Because it seems to be more prevalent than we want to believe.
We need to acknowledge it. And if it's a hard truth, it's a hard truth. And even if it is that way, it's not static. It can be changed. But we need to have these open conversations. And again, this is one of the pivotal moments of this campaign. It's about having these open conversations where we can say, you know what? That may be true, you know, and just don't take for granted that because you give the child a good home, they have all the utilities in the house, they got internet, they got their own bedroom, they may have their own cell phone, that child is good. Those are objects. Mm. But what about the relations that you have with that child? Is that child able to come to you at a moment's notice and open up? Is that child able to say, confidently speak about their failures as they do about their successes? How do you in turn respond to them when they have not met your expectations? Are you still supportive of that child? Or are you going to say, but I spent $20,000 at UE, why you don't pass this course? Because the child midway in a four-year program decided that they want to change their majors. Mm. So, I mean, these are things, yes, you may be angry and parents may have some semblance of right to be angry, but it's how you displace that anger, how you express that anger is what makes a difference. Mm. Because then what you're doing is creating a traumatic event. And these adverse childhood events of trauma, then what you do is participate in its continuation and its cycle, because the child takes that unhealed child, takes that traumatic event to their friend circles, to their relationships that they try to form, into the classroom. So sometimes when teachers see children displaying some behavior that is not congruent with the classroom, sometimes it's because it's a product inadvertently of their dysfunctional home. And that is a hard truth as well.
Mm. And sometimes when children get together, they bring all of that trauma. They find like minds, but not necessarily positive ways to
express it.
All right. So we're almost out of time. Resources that are available. I know, Karel, we didn't get to hear a lot from you this week, but that sometimes happens. But resources available.
But the resources remain. The psychiatric hospital, we both have a child guidance clinic that runs, I think, daily during the week. I'm not sure if it has gone back to Branford Tate, but I think for the time being, it's on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We also have psychological services available, clinical and counseling psychologists that can help navigate children through their pressing issues and getting them from a point of being, you know, withdrawn and vulnerable to a point where they can be ultimately well and be able to express their emotions in a better way. Mm-hmm. There are also private institutions and psychologists that can assist persons. And there is also Child Care Board. There is Paradox as well. They have some parenting classes as well. And there are just things that you can do naturally as a family. Go out, have a family day, have a no device day where you just get and actually have to interact with each other, play games, and do encourage your children to be appropriately express their feelings and emotions. It can, you know, take them a long way and change the trajectory of who that child could be to who they want to be. Because they're next leaders and they're a vulnerable group, and we really need to take care of our kids and the youth.
Okay, well, Ryan Lewis and Karel Hollingsworth, thank you so much for joining us today. Always very, very interesting sessions. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.
And thank you for having us, and do enjoy your day.
All right. Don't want to offend.